if not more.
Okay, everything looks good back here.
Okay.
I'll need to make a way.
Okay. So the three of you, and let's see, myself and Marika, who's not here, and occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So this is the second pass transcriptions you're receiving, and that's pretty straightforward. I think you'll basically have an idea of what's involved.
Okay.
But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel, and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So so you can start checking by, well, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those, and so you could just hit
well, hi everyone again.
And then
like before we
like that, and then go back and check the silent regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day, as long as it gets done. So
are we checking what's actually being transcribed already, as well as the silence?
Yeah, you're doing it. So that's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent regions, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing was lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. exactly. And so that, once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu. You can do a search for
find a place.
Yeah, find a place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to any that the first transcriber might have marked out. So there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes together. And likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks. And like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, so put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's... If you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think it was said. If you think that
there's a chance
maybe
that it could.
30% chance you're wrong or more.
It's usually a context problem, because
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word that would fit the context, or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all, and then question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one, listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that, and then you should have the context
yeah.
from all four speakers,
mm-hmm.
and then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dust in the head. Yeah.
Okay.
Much going through the passage and worked out what they're talking about.
You'll know all too well what we said in this meeting by the time.
It took like the third time till I thought, oh, you're saying F5.
yeah, I think that would be
nowhere.
Really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
So if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like ice cream.
Mm.
Then just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. I mean, think of it from a speech recognition point of view again, and always this should be this should
robust.
Motivate you. Yeah. What is most robust for speech recognition, and leave out.
We just started our speech
yeah.
recognition assignment just now.
So you're well geared towards this task.
That's
a
nice one. I've done that too.
So I've got
SLP.
Through.
Oh no, I don't want to interrupt.
Oh no.
When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon King.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yeah. And actually, I've done quite well in SP1. I've done a bit worse in SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We have too many teachers for SP2.
Okay.
Too many. And. I'll ask you later on, like, this will have my notes.
Okay. Back to the topic.
Okay, so this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got some square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So this person didn't know about capitalization. So just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and needs and punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's this sort of pause in the middle of a sentence which is long enough for it to put a break in,
yeah.
but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can
yeah.
continue into the next
yeah.
segment, and
so
that's perfectly fine.
That's actually the only case where you don't. Or you're not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence for a previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
But
you
only use the hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing
yes.
anywhere.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those
it.
Wrong then. Someone comes to check it.
I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out
mm-hmm.
or
okay.
mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath. Or possibly in breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in breaths or out breaths.
Okay.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to reuse meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Oh, you know, this is the headset. Mike, I heard something there. It was a
creaky voice.
Yeah, it was creaky. So
it was really connected to the word. For you.
Yeah.
And you sometimes you don't know really whether it's Mike's voice or the person's making it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't think it was.
And so here we go. Oh.
Yeah,
But
this actually quite a bit more in there than
from
I heard before. This
the
is so I heard a creaky voice and it was audible of the level of the rest of the speech, so I would keep that. I think that's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was doing. That makes sense. Okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here, that didn't get caught.
meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common in the transcriptions I've looked at. Missed false starts, missed.
And how exact you have to be there, because some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right.
Yeah.
I think syllables should be accounted for.
Because
For
sometimes they go like that, and then you're not even
Yeah,
sure whether
well,
it's
don't
three
let it drive you
paragraphs
crazy because there is one speaker Melissa just played for me today and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate. It's really gonna be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to draw the line somewhere. But if it's say 4 repeated, if the word is repeated 4 times, then that's not too hard to count. I haven't come across something that's been. I haven't come across anything exceeding 4, I don't think. Have
Yeah.
you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were, the whole word were being used 4 times, that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe one or one and a half phones, and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether one is a long duration of one or whether it's actually two,
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
that kind of thing. So it's, I think it was a word starting with D, and the person was going
Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for too long, I would say.
And sometimes if it does, you're thinking, are you anticipating a the, or you're trying to say the, and you're just saying
Right.
the.
Well, there again, think of that robustness in the
Yeah.
speech recognition. It really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment. Who cares?
Well
You're marking it as a fragment, and that's
Yeah.
what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say doesn't really actually sound at all, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically or do you put a star after every single one word or?
You'd be using the star so liberally
Yeah, that's what
for
I
a
thought, that you're
non-native
not supposed
speaker.
to do it, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, a whole batch of dialogues where all four participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think he's Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European. And but if you would just play it, I think, to recognize it, then what he says, the way he realizes words sounds nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. I mean, and for that matter, a lot of native English
Yeah.
speakers' realizations aren't going to
Yeah.
be so true too.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in. But
Yeah, yeah.
if it comes out in like one word, is
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like his I don't know, just the phonemes sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances
Well, you can't really because
No, I mean, yeah, you're gonna find that for any speaker. They have a set way of realizing these things. And it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant. Like, I'm thinking of, I've used this example before. There's a guy who says project instead of product, and it's something like project, and it's probably just his
Oh, I think
pronunciation
I've transcribed
of
from
duh.
that project at all.
Yeah, well,
Evolution
they were clearly
Criteria.
talking about a product, so I mark that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
And one guy who was saying evolution each time he meant
evaluation. I remember that. That one I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always transcribe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation.
Yeah.
And then I went back and replaced it. Replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good. That's good.
At the moment, we have a lecturer that can. I can never quite tell if he's saying problem or program.
Program.
And I can't actually say it when I'm listening to him. I can't tell.
Alright. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just,
I think, just do your best and hope for the best.
Yeah. He's not involved with this.
Okay, so.
That'll give some transcriber a headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headset and lapel transcription, so it's not too bad.
Oops.
I won't be transcribing
that. Right here.
Yeah, let's have Marcus transcribe.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed fill pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to because you're so used to tuning them out. And you know, when I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning, do a quick pass of the main sections again, and think, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to catch.
Sorry, I'm just seeing this with the TV. There is T underscore V underscore. I thought we're just supposed to use the underscore between letters.
No.
That's what I thought the first.
Okay,
day
sorry,
well.
Then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every acronym.
You know,
letter.
You standardized all the fill pauses of the art, and do we need to go through and change ones that people did differently, like if I were over an ER, change it all to UH.
Yeah. So at this point, the only file that's been checked is Melissa, one that Melissa did, and that was checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and you know, changes like that that were just announced, we'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM for you would change that to the regularized version.
Okay.
And we just, you know, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted with choice. Here's.
So if they pause just where you've got it highlighted at the moment, that was the hyphen. So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Was that a like real definite, I am starting a new sentence here? Because I sometimes, if it sounds like you carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there.
But it is a
hesitation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily restarting the sentence.
I think of it in terms of, you know, not even maybe to, well, if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it's just, it might go back to the last
just
note.
Just one to the next note.
Thank you.
I don't know what that was. If somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S note.
It's just my way of knowing.
Yeah.
Sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's a, so that answers your question.
So
that answers your question.
Yeah.
This one up here? Okay. Here's where I heard another d sound, another false start, or stutter, I would say.
On this room remote. And used to send message, of course, to the TV. It should have nine channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, subtitle buttons. Switch to control features, color, contrast, sharpness, etc. doesn't match, what is the name? Checking in her favorite personal features she would like see to be integrated in
so,
this.
That kind of thing. And there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the d, and that's fine.
What's
the letter
yeah.
D?
What's the C?
Is that a
she would like C. She
definitely integrated
that.
In this new remote.
Oh, sorry. I didn't go.
Oh, I've not used that one yet.
Where you've written that, etc., is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Look at that.
Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong.
Well,
Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because of spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just.
Spelling. I thought it would be
it's
like
mantra.
Ad
sorry,
but isn't it the Latin like et cetera, like ad alia, or
like eighties?
No, no, no. Like at, you know when you have when you have a citation and you say et al means and others et al et alia is the four, and et cetera means and following. So
in the dictionary,
yeah,
it's one word.
Oh, in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have any questions about spellings, I think I might have sent an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary on there.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So, as far as I know, this is just missing an E, cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an Emacs file and run a spell check on it, but I think it would slow things down too much.
Yeah.
So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with a hyphen, then a spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know from experience, at some point you also get negligence. You just click okay, you know, that's not and then you might miss a little error. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. And that's what we'll do.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, so.
To be integrated
sorry.
In.
So I think she didn't catch.
She was cutting one off rather than saying she would like to see something.
Right. Yeah. I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But since C
is
actual
a whole
full
word,
shouldn't there be a space between C and
a space
to be?
She would like C. She would like C.
After the C and the hyphen, shouldn't there be a space?
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That was the way you were remarking that. Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to say that.
Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So,
The word
other shape buttons. She presented also an oversized remote, which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes we really don't know whether a thing will or would.
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical alternative or
no?
You try to keep it as
true. To
but
what
if
it, means
but
then.
If it's really not, absolutely not clear,
then use
when they say "wuh" instead. You know, some people when they just swallow off the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just then transcribe?
I have to hear it because it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and type what you think they should have said, but I do know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
That one should be capitalized.
Yeah, they should all, I stopped marking because there were just too many, but
should it? Because they lose, it's
let's see.
From one second.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
you're
right, right.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a yes in there. Okay. What's that?
But we're ready for personal.
So another mistful start.
Favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There is creakiness on the sheet, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I play butts after like words after laughter, I think, and capitalize because I'm not been sure if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
If it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues after the laughter, I wouldn't.
Okay, so what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter in front? What I put laughter in front, then the whole sentence and laughter in, you know, at the end as well.
If you hear just laughter on either side, yeah, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to.
Oh, some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing. All this speak.
Okay, so laughter during speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to Melissa.
Because in the ICSI dialogues, they always say, you know, while laughing, and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they say either. So there, it's really not ambiguous whether it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance, or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinction there, and we don't have that.
No, we don't have any
yeah.
qual tags that they use, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I've come across that as well. Let's see.
Use speech recognizer integrated English remote. The industrial designer.
I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on. There are other types of things I want to point out. Let's see.
And how it would work, so you press the button, the chip is a Morse code related, relays the electrical to the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build, and so she thinks this is a great feature to consider.
Circuit. I forget if she was the person that calls circuit circuit. Did she say circuit? I didn't really hear that.
I'm not sure.
So would you have been tempted to just put an asterisk?
If it's her, I just caught the end
board.
Of it.
The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So
yeah.
I had one person who said circuit.
But
oh,
okay. But then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No,
okay.
It's just something that the speech recognizer is liable to trip up on.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-native speakers make, to say circuit instead of circuit.
That may be, but I probably would flag it. Depending on how different the vowel sound was.
Mm.
It's going to be your call in a lot of these
something
cases.
Like
I took that one because it was, well, the language teacher wouldn't like allow that to move on to the next stage. They wouldn't let that pass. Sort of. Okay.
Or
I wouldn't if somebody that I point it out to them. Here's a case of where I found a case of discontinuity.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
But, you know, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know. Maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her. If you know what I mean. Maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe that was.
Because otherwise you could end up putting a hyphen after every hesitation mark you have.
Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know. That was just my reflex at the time to put that there, but
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual whole hesitation.
Yeah,
as in that whole like back channel.
Simple chip.
Right.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. I'm going to start the rest of the sentence.
Is push buttons two words?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need
yeah.
more.
I'll
swipe it as two.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to skip ahead. Oh, let's see. There we go.
Should be battery operated. And of course, we have the special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able
well,
to.
Well, it could be she
it.
Would or should as well.
Well, okay. Yes, it could be a lot of things.
The marketing expert who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between a non-word fragment and a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. It's just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as mm-hmm, we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Marika asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we use punctuation in these cases? I haven't done. I don't
no.
think it's
just too silly.
Yeah.
It's not linguistic.
No.
Well, no. Yeah. I know.
I'm just thinking of, you know, a utterance consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation in like,
I was going to have fun transcribing that now.
If you start a conversation in the common room, like, there's an after linguistic, then they could come up with
yeah. I'm trying to understand, interpret my note here. Delete and clap the sounds in the sentence. Okay, I guess there just really wasn't enough to transcribe.
What I really like.
Yeah, because it was really just
silence, and you're asking the person to just begin.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, that won't play any surrounding segments. So there's nothing there worth transcribing.
Just notice the random yes, like of having a hyphen before because of
it's thrown off a little bit.
Yeah, that the second one from the top.
Yes,
I'm going to have to go back and find my places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, yeah, and then this, but I've not had, I need to go back and find.
So you haven't put a hyphen there? I see, yes.
Okay. Hyphens or commas?
Commas.
Commas?
Yeah. For that
type of
situation?
I'll sort of just sort
it out.
Actually, a couple of times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine.
Okay.
Eventually, they're going to be extracted globally, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
How we can just wipe them out.
Okay.
So
I get quite proliferate with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve Reynolds, who's project manager, had a look at. I think it was my transcription. Well, these commas doing anything. But he didn't, ultimately, he said it wasn't a problem.
Okay, cool.
They will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective. I mean, you, the transcriber here,
just to make sense of sentence.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposals yesterday and saying, well, you could have a comma in here and one there.
What is cutest spelling?
She spelled cutest with an I. So
oh, okay.
That's just something I pointed out. Okay, what else?
ESD.
Thank you. So here's, let's see. Now this was
that one step
behind. Evaluation criteria.
So she typed hour, and I didn't quite hear that, but.
No, this was an evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been.
Well, if she were Cockney, then.
No, this was an evaluation criteria.
Yeah,
sometimes you get like you're not sure if it's an A, an A, yeah, or not.
Right, and you can never know, but
yeah.
If it fits well enough as a as an indefinite article, then
yeah, do it
you might as well. So
okay.
Which did you I was suggesting that it be instead of our.
No, this was an evaluation criteria, which
but
evaluation.
This. Yeah, it's tricky.
Oh, well,
I
well.
Some big words. I don't know. What's this? Well, oh, she's.
Well, there's a production as well.
I hear the well there.
Yeah.
But this being the headset, my channel may make it
yeah.
easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with the dodgy headphone web.
Oh,
do something where
oh.
most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh God!
Yes.
And you transcribe that speaker entirely?
Yeah.
if that comes
yeah,
up again, we've got headset mic files now. In fact,
yeah.
they replaced all the lapel mic files on the MMM server with headset mic files,
mm-hmm.
which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. So now we don't have the lapel mic files. Apparently the headset mic files are just a bit louder,
right.
so you've probably found yourself turning the volume down considerably, but apparently other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know, because we can retrieve the...
Yeah, with some people it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud, or probably the mic is so close. I had this one, in one of the first dialogues I did, this guy called Ed, you could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being at some points just black segments. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when you speak too close to the microphone, and that was really
horrible. The people that say, is this on? And like, hit it a few times. okay. I don't think I'm going to go through any more of these because I think I've gotten. Through most of the types that I meant to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody and you think, who? And you don't have to spell their name
right.
if you heard the right name.
Right. I don't know what he's done.
So? Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers was, he had a really weird accent and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr.
Ed. Ed. And it took me and you find out that it was actually Mr. Ed.
Mystery Ed.
No, but that it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some
yeah.
proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed. I did see, I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that
right.
and see
well,
how we can have
But don't you guys
that.
Have this data? Know the people's names, like when you collect
yeah,
data.
Quite possibly.
Are
but since it's coming from it's coming from IDEAP in Switzerland. Yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one other step, you know, emailing somebody to find out who
okay.
knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's
no, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment. So we ought to be able to get
we
that.
Didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled
mm-hmm.
at all, and flagging that in some way. So I'll try to address both things.
Mm-hmm.
What was Mister again? I can't remember seeing how to
Mister.
Mister. Oh, just type Mister fully.
M
I N S T E R. Yeah, and same with Mrs. M I N S S.
You're
okay. Okay, check the dictionary.
Mrs.
Yeah, you would never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls himself Ms?
I'm sure there's a spelling in
yeah.
OED, yeah.
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking if we come up with something.
Oh, right, so the transcriber is including everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And
it was French, so I knew how to explain.
That's a good question, because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots and they know
right.
it's fine, does that matter?
It shouldn't, because things are going to be left, like the asterisk will be left for the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an at between the carrots?
Yeah.
Because it's an intelligible thing.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because there's one dialogue where I think two speakers are French, like one is definitely French. And I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying something to her, and she goes, "Come on." And then you know that.
Yeah, yeah. If you're confident,
you
can get a fair grasp on French, for example.
Why not accidentally translating in the process?
Yeah. Okay. There's just one other thing. She typed okay in caps.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
O, capital K. Huge no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
Are we doing okay
yeah.
just as O
okay.
K, not as a okay A Y.
It is okay A Y.
A Y. Oh
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it will be your job. Catch all of these.
Find some of those.
So no
yeah.
No transcriber will be checking. No checker will be checking their own transcription, yes. So
transcriber will be
we will catch these things.
To remember that one
more efficiently, I think. And I'll just go to the board. Do I have to keep this stuff on?
Oh yeah, because every time somebody would be going
over
there, you'd hear all the sound.
I can hear the chairs moving and then.
And about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way back.
Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the whiteboard, I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So,
the whiteboard marker and the camera as well.
That's some
wow.
Pieces.
Now, this is a list of things to do as the checker. So, you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, you want to check the boundaries. And oh, by the way, this should be transcribed. Any missed speech? And let's see what else. Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments, you want to listen for or look for missed. Look for missed punctuation. Filled pauses, words, and stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just
okay.
So if somebody says the, then it's just the. Words is. And false starts. Short words, make sure the words like the and the articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of missed transcription. Seems so silly and really interesting. Anyway, missed transcription, so make sure that the speaker said will, you type will, not would, or if they say we, you know, it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was And look for capitalization. I'm not gonna do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OD to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings and things like fill pauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, when it's just a K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
Yeah. Well, apostrophe and then K A Y.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Good.
And
then Marcus smells really bad.
I think it smells really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to almost smell like your state. I'll give you perfumes.
Please paint.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity, but not in stuttering, like I said. And don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment of whatever. Don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths, and okay should never be two capital letters, it should be OKAY. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any. So
over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have
it. Yeah, really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But use these waveforms to help you. Mm-hmm. And you can adjust the resolution so that... that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
If you just click on one of the arrows.
Which?
The
arrows
by it will. Yeah, this one?
Yeah.
No,
not that one.
The
other
one.
One. It's fit.
This
yeah. Right, okay. So.
Yeah. Oh, and you can also, if you go to signal and. It's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude. On resolution.
Okay, right.
Yeah, you can also wait. Nothing, that's not. If you go to control panel, signal control panel. No, signal control panel. The vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well. So if it seems too flat for you, or you can.
That's good. Okay.
All right. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. So I had to find where everything was.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Panel.
Yeah. So to help you make cuts, just look, you know, use this waveform and make sure you're not losing any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately, I think. Post-processing wise,
I've got a bit far in cutting mine down at the moment.
Yeah, don't get excessive about it, because that just ends up taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter the segments being whatever length that they need to be. I've seen other people's transcription guidelines, like for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere, say, indicating that it really doesn't matter. The point is just to get them into manageable units.
Easy to checking it in it rather than to listen to a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting me down. But hopefully that will be done during the first pass, because that's the whole point. Making the checker's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the cases of ambiguity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same
blurb allocation.
The same page, just further down, scroll down, you'll see what files. And I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked at the moment.
So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for a first pass, so it's important that we do this second pass. And I've indicated in a column whether something is priority.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's high priority. So those would be the ones you would focus on first, obviously. And then it comes, you don't want to change the file name in any way. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CVS server.
Yeah.
So,
well, I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this one.
Right. But it'll be similar. But they're creating a guy, Jonathan, is creating a web form.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do this all very simply, just upload everything that you upload the file that you've transcribed, and you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name as the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon. I'll let you know.
So, do we just open the file as we open the files for the first pass?
Yeah.
The sound file, and then
you'll have to. I would suggest creating a folder. Files to be checked or something like that.
In your home directory.
Yeah, and then within that, create subfolders for the given meeting. And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, from the MMM server on your own, because the AMI server's not very reliable for getting these sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours.
Okay.
And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. You don't move it over, because you want to have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory and keep the same name. And then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when we're doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think you'll also be indicating that as well.
Slightly connected question.
Uh-huh.
you'll know. Originally, when we first applied, say yesterday, it said 6 weeks, and the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than. Which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually six. What is it? Is it 3 months?
I've got a 3 month contract.
They're 3 month contracts. And now, if you can't keep that, that's fine. But it's just a logistic thing with personnel, where we that was the minimum we were able to offer a contract for. So if you have to, let us know as soon as you know when you.
It gets into the holidays and
the holidays. Obviously, those kinds of things, things we'll have to work around. But it's just one of those.
Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible with our hours if we want to?
I should think so.
The
whole point of keeping, well, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer and the other person.
Yeah.
That's fine. The whole point of having regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer the questions.
Sure.
But you've got keys?
Yes.
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during odd hours if you want to.
And if
they
can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I'm keeping it there
as well. Yeah, I don't see why not. As long as you're doing your
beginning
sort of hours or something. Yeah. And I think you'll all be paid. I'm having to sort some tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because I need to make sure I'm sending in the right form.
Okay.
But they want you to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information, because it was about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies and degree certificates to give you for your files if I was going to be here.
I think
one place it said give us copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A-level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems like that, see Caroline Hastings. I mean, if it's
right.
For this job and you're getting paid,
yeah,
that's not necessary. And Caroline Hastings,
but also if pay is a matter, it's a matter that you haven't gotten paid for something. I hope that's not.
Yeah, I haven't gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a 3 month contract starting February, but I started mid January.
Talk to Karen.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be.
I'm here full time now, so
okay.
I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I live at 4 now, so you won't find me any time after that.
Does your husband know I'm a stay at home dad?
Yeah.
My husband's at home.
Oh, so it is your baby then.
Yes.
One assumes this.
How old?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh,
that's very lovely.
He's sleeping through.
Yeah, that's the question I was just going to ask. Is he sleeping?
Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
I was just telling Melissa this. Do you want us to stop?
Do you think you're done?
Yeah,
The tapes are about to run out.
Yeah.
Okay, that worked out well.
I was telling Melissa that
do we have to tick our notes in again when we finish this?
Oh, to say that we've